Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. Winters across the U.S. are getting warmer because of climate change. And in California, an increase of even a few degrees has serious implications for water supplies. KQED climate reporter Laura Clivens has more.
Some cities such as San Francisco, Chico, and Fresno are an average of 3 degrees warmer over the winter than they were 50 years ago. In other cities like Los Angeles and Palm Springs, winter temperatures are pretty much the same. Andrew Pershing is the director of climate science at the research group Climate Central. He says the warm temperatures will likely mean more drought.
That's going to continue many of the water challenges that California's been facing now for the last more than a year. When the precipitation comes because of these warmer temperatures, it's more likely to come in the form of rain instead of snow.
And less snow in the Sierra makes it harder to store water for the summer. Higher winter temperatures will also likely shrink the ski season and deprive some trees, like cherries, of the cold they need to produce fruits. I'm Laura Clivens, KQED News.
Many of us will soon be preparing our Thanksgiving meals, but some of the food that will be cooked and served won't actually be eaten. It'll end up in the garbage. And that kind of food waste is a significant contributor to climate change. So much so, the state of California is trying to crack down on it, with big changes coming up. I talked about all of this with Rachel Wagoner, the director of the state's recycling agency, CalRecycle. We met on the loading dock of a food recycling center south of downtown LA.
Well, Saul, so half of what we put in landfills is organic, which means that it breaks down into methane, which is a climate super pollutant. It is 84 times really more potent than carbon. And that is causing a huge impact on our atmosphere and is impacting climate change. So
I just want to stress that. I mean, food waste is a real accelerator of climate change.
Exactly. 11 billion pounds last year was disposed of food waste. Much of that was still edible.
So to date, what has the state done about this?
So in 2016, Senator Ricardo Lara passed a first in the nation bill that requires the state to reach a 75% diversion of all of our organic waste. That's everything from food waste to yard waste to the clothes that we wear. That legislation will result in a 75% reduction in the amount that we are throwing away if we do it right. So we are working with all of the local governments in California to institute programs so that we can get organic waste out of landfills and either compost it or, as we're doing here today, find even better next uses for things that would have otherwise been thrown away.
You know, we're at a place where you see a tangible form of food recycling. Food is coming in here that otherwise would have gone to waste, would have maybe ended up in a landfill. Is this partially an example of the laws on the books now in California that, you know, companies have to do this? They have to find alternative ways to use extra food.
That's exactly right, Sal. One of the things that we're doing here today is we are looking at a food recovery center. The Food Forward Produce Pit Stop is moving over 60 million pounds of produce every year and getting that fresh produce into people's hands, our neighbors, our communities who are food insecure, while making sure that this food doesn't get thrown away, which is amazing.
So tell me about what's coming up. What can Californians expect starting next year in particular?
So next year, January 1st, every local jurisdiction in California will have had to start instituting a program for the collection of food and other organic waste. And so you should see your city or county have a collection program. Oftentimes that'll mean that your yard waste bin will now be a yard and food waste bin. We're looking for individual Californians to think about their relationship with their food rather than throw that banana peel in the garbage can where it's going to break down to methane in a landfill, throw it in your compost pile or in your yard waste bin.
And when it comes to the new law next year, what is your response to the inevitable criticisms of it? Oh, here's another example of nanny state California. Now they want to get into my garbage can, into what I do in the kitchen. You would say what to that?
I would say, Sal, we don't have a moment to wait. Our climate absolutely needs us to act now. And like I said, the organic waste degrading and decomposing in a landfill is degrading into methane, which is contaminating our atmosphere. We don't have any time to wait in our climate. And this is the single easiest thing that we can do as Californians to impact climate change.
That was Rachel Wagner, the director of the state's recycling agency, CalRecycle.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Last year, Congress passed a law requiring the Department of Veterans Affairs to disclose how many veterans got sick and died of the coronavirus in VA nursing homes. As KPCC's Jackie Fortier reports, the department finally released some data, but it's incomplete.
Specifically dedicated to caring for elderly U.S. veterans, the homes are financed under the VA, but run by state governments or the contractors they hire. The report covers two types of facilities for veterans: nursing homes and assisted living centers. Nationwide, almost 1,500 residents and 54 staff members have died of COVID-19 in those facilities. That number doesn't include the first few months of the pandemic and is likely to rise as more data is reported. In California, 486 staff members and at least 149 residents have been infected with COVID-19, some as recently as October. Two of those homes reported veteran deaths, but the total number was not released. The veterans' home in West LA was the only facility to report staff deaths, but that number isn't specified. Homes that are more like assisted living centers have even less data. For the California Report, I'm Jackie Fortier in Los Angeles.
A year-long study on a part of the Mojave Desert says the night sky there is really, really dark. So much so, it might earn the rare distinction as an international dark sky sanctuary. With more, here's KCRW's Kaylee Wells.
There are about 180 official dark sky places worldwide. To get on that list, you have to be above a certain brightness magnitude. Anything lower than a measurement of 16 is a light-polluted site. Above 21, and it's very dark. A team of interns studied the brightness at the Mojave Trail's National Monument, which is wedged between Joshua Tree and the Mojave National Preserve. Over the course of a year, it averaged a magnitude of 21.5. That's good news for stargazers, but it's also good news for wildlife. Less artificial light means less disruption to migration patterns and circadian rhythms. Now the 1.6 million acre monument has to apply to get official recognition, a process that typically takes 1 to 3 years. For the California Report, I'm Kaylee Wells in Los Angeles.
A giant asteroid or comet on a collision course with Earth is a staple of science fiction books and movies, like the 1998 film Armageddon.
What hit us?
Small asteroid fragments.
This new one you're tracking, how big?
It's the size of Texas, Mr. President.
But in real life, an extraterrestrial rock striking our world isn't out of the question, like that asteroid that helped wipe out the dinosaurs 66 million years ago. So, very early this morning, NASA launched a first-of-its-kind mission from California's Vandenberg Air Force Base. Called DART, or the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, it's a vehicle that will travel millions of miles through space and then crash into an asteroid on purpose, one that doesn't pose a threat to our world. Here to talk more about all of this is Jason Davis with the Pasadena-based Planetary Society, a space advocacy group. So, Jason, before we get to the particulars of this mission, let's talk more about the threat to Earth from other objects whipping around the cosmos.
Yeah, so we know that throughout history, we've had some pretty significant objects that have hit the Earth. These are, we say objects, that usually just means asteroids or comets, just kind of a catch-all term. And, you know, the right size rock and the right direct hit could cause actually major devastation over a major city. If we were to get, say, a direct hit on, say, New York City, you could potentially have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people be killed. That'd be very rare. And, you know, most of the earth is covered in water. So, you know, we don't expect that to happen, but it is an actual threat that we need to think about.
So let's turn to this mission, the DART mission that's been launched. What will it do?
Yeah, so we know that if we discover an asteroid that's on course to hit Earth with enough time that we can do something about it, there's lots of different potential ways that we might be able to deflect it, just nudge it enough off its course so that it misses Earth. And one of the most straightforward ways is called the kinetic impactor. And that just means you take a spacecraft and you just ram the asteroid as fast and hard as you can. And if you hit it right, that will be enough if it's far enough away from Earth that you just barely knock it off course. A tiny little course correction when it's far away can be all the difference and end up making it miss Earth. And what we're doing, or what NASA is doing with this DART mission, it's going to be a 10-month journey to get out to these. It's actually two asteroids. We have this big asteroid called Dimorphos, and then it has a little moon called Didymos. And we're going to hit the moon of the asteroid in a way that should change the moon's orbit around the bigger asteroid. And it doesn't sound like much, but from the ground, astronomers can actually measure. You can't see the two asteroids themselves. They just look like one point of light, but they kind of brighten and dim on regular intervals as one asteroid circles the other one. And they'll be able to see a slight change in that frequency of it brightening and dimming to kind of validate that, yes, this did cause a measurable impact.
So I guess the big idea here is that this test is essentially a proof of concept that we can do this. And maybe one day, if we really had to do this for real against an asteroid or a comet that was heading our way, we'd be able to do that, knock it out of the path of Earth, essentially.
Yeah. And they've, you know, it's been theorized, you know, depending on like how big the asteroid is and the course it's on, you know, it may take, say, a fleet of spacecraft hitting it. And that might be a situation where you need to get the world's space agencies all involved together and you send a small fleet of spacecraft at it to hit it one after another. Or maybe you hit it once and then you measure the change that was made and say, we need to nudge it a little bit more this way. So you send another couple spacecraft. And so this is our first time that we just are going to test and say, did we do something? Did we actually move it? You know, they obviously think they're going to, but you want to test it out and see exactly how accurate you were in your theories. And then the idea would be that if this happened with enough time, we could actually do this and save the Earth potentially.
All right. That is Jason Davis of the Planetary Society. Jason, thank you so much for joining us on the California Report.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
And that is the California Report for Wednesday, November 24th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Thanks so much for listening. And if you're traveling for Thanksgiving today, please be careful and be patient.
Support for the California Report comes from Water Heaters Only, specializing in the repair and replacement of water heaters since 1968. Licensed and insured, open 24 hours a day, every day. Learn more at waterheatersonly.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy includes Schmidt Futures, focused on finding exceptional people and helping them do more for others together, on the web at schmidtfutures.com. And Stanford Medicine, protecting your health and providing dependable care with safe in-person appointments and video visits, stanfordhealthcare.org/adaptingcare.
Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.